Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin this study in Daniel chapter 12, verses 5 through 13, titled The Hiddekel End Time Prophecy Summit. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbfohio@protonmail.com or send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. And now we begin our study in Daniel chapter 12, verses 5 through 13, titled The Hiddekel End Time Prophecy Summit. This is part 1 of 2.
Current events update. How many of you saw this horrible thing that happened in Indonesia? Earthquake, tsunami, and I heard on the way in there's a volcano go off. Did you hear that too? Because I wasn't sure if I heard it right. So pray for Indonesia. The death toll's up over 1,234 there. Now this is just the beginning of the tsunami, and it looks kind of tame. But watch this, from the next few seconds you're going to see it just becomes amazing. Turn this off so you can see it. Oh, it gets worse. All these people have gone onto the roofs. They just look like toy cars. And Mary Lynn, it's just, you can imagine what it looked like at the flood of Noah. People running for, trying to get on high ground. Look, it just keeps getting higher and higher. And I don't know if those people, I don't know if these people survived or not. Yeah, I'm hopeful that that's why we see the video, because they survived. Because watch, it just keeps getting higher. It's all ocean. See trees. Look, that's the roof. Ain't nobody going to work. And all that. It's about to cover that building completely up, and it stops before it's over. This is about to stop, and that's why I have to say that, you know, I looked in vain on our American news media for this. Our news media is a joke. Excuse me? It might have been from the volcano. I don't know.
I think that's what it was. Probably ash. Yeah. I think it's
Now, I want to, just another two-minute video here, I want to dispel the myth that, you know, all this stuff doesn't have anything to do with Bible prophecy. This is a well-done video. Yeah. No, not yours, hers.
It's the dramatic increase of earthquakes around the world, something that in geological time would be statistically unprecedented if it were actually happening during what many believe is the last generation.
That in the last days there'd be an increase in great earthquakes. Jesus used verbiage that means bigger earthquakes in unusual places. We're looking at things regarding, for example, greater hurricanes, greater typhoons, things that in nature you can sense that things are coming undone. And yet, if you looked at it naturally, you would say, well, this is due to global warming, or this is due to man's bad stewardship of the earth. But yet the Bible said as we approached the end, this is exactly what we would see. Which, by the way, that preempts man's involvement.
The scriptures do tell us that earthquakes, specifically earthquakes, will increase in frequency and in intensity.
But wait a minute. Hasn't the U.S. Geological Survey, or USGS, gone on record to state that this is not occurring, that no such increase in earthquakes have been detected around the world?
Because this is such a debated topic, the USGS gave a press release saying that this was not occurring. As a result, we actually decided to take the USGS data, millions of data points, spent months downloading it, analyzing it, graphing it, studying it. The results were absolutely terrifying.
Despite what you may have heard in the past, this is the compiled data from the USGS from over the last 100 years. Keep in mind, we're not talking about the millions of micro tremors that can now be detected from the distribution of more numerous and sensitive sensors, but strictly data from the larger earthquakes that can be felt by people beginning at 6.3 and up on the Richter scale that could be easily detected by early 19th century sensors from virtually anywhere in the world. This data shows what the USGS and other organizations do not want you to see.
It shows that earthquakes are increasing in intensity, and they are increasing in frequency. This is exactly the description that was prophesied.
We have that video, or if it's not checked out. I don't agree with everything on the video, but it's a good source. And what it's amazing, there's just so many teachers out there these days who want to deny what we're seeing in front of our faces. And, well, just to lighten things up a little bit, we also have a fake news media in this country. ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, etc. Other than Fox, OAN, and CRTV, which are small, much smaller, the rest of these networks are Democrats. That's all. They're registered Democrats, and they are propagandists for the Democrat Party. Now, they also like rhinos. So you also see them once in a while talking nice about people like John McCain before he died, and when he died, they turned him into a little god. But that's because they're rhinos, they're Republicans in name only. They're not really conservatives. But the news media in this country is the enemy of the Constitution. Which, that's why the president called them the enemy of the people. Because they hate our Constitution. They want to overthrow and overturn the Constitution and establish a new world order and a socialist state. And once in a while, they get mad at each other. And here's left-winger Ted Koppel, who's very pro-socialist and left-wing. With CNN's Brian Stelter. And Brian Stelter was interviewing him on a panel, and Koppel told him that CNN's ratings would be in the toilet without Donald Trump. And Stelter said, "I don't agree with that." And so they kind of had words. But here's the facts. I want you to think about this. There are 130 million voters in the U.S. 60-some million votes for one and 60-some million votes for the other almost every election now. CNN gets less than 1 million viewers.
Wow.
The fact is, if all the other stations, including Fox and others, the talk radio hosts, and all, if they'd stop talking about CNN, CNN would die. They're kept alive by the fact that they put these left-wingers on there and right-wingers talk about them all the time. But here's, because I don't like fake news, I thought I would correct this so that you can see. There's what it ought to look like. That's what the, if there was truth in news, then that's what, and Mary Lynn, that was a picture of Brian Stelter replaced with a toilet. All right, one last thing here. How many of you got your emergency alert test today?
Only one of my phones did it.
And that means you probably have an outdated phone.
Yes.
Or you're in the CIA. Just kidding.
Why didn't you?
Why didn't you? I don't want to dispel a couple myths and move on, but Donald Trump isn't behind this. And there are a bunch of never-Trumper and quacks and fundamentalist kooks out there trying to convince everybody that Donald Trump is getting us all online so we can all be rounded up and put in Walmarts. And that's not what's happening. This was originated in 2006. It was actually funded by Congress and signed by Obama in 2012. But it's not a bad thing. And everything Obama does is not a bad thing. This is just a way to warn you if there's something like electronic pulse bombs going off or whatever, to let you know, hit the deck or get your milk and toilet paper or whatever they need to tell you to do. It's not a big deal. But here's what I was thinking. I put this on Facebook, so some of you already saw this. But wouldn't it be something if that emergency alert goes out right after the rapture? I won't be here to get it. How about you? Anyone here want to volunteer to check all of our phones? If you're saved, you will not get the alert. Amen? We will be gone.
We'll be listening to a more important alert.
Amen. The voice of the archangel and the trump of God. Instead of a message email alert from Trump, we'll hear the trump of God. Amen? All right, let's cover this 12, beginning of verse 5. We're going to finish out the chapter, which will finish out the book of Daniel. Beginning of verse 5 and continuing through verse 13, I called this the Hiddekel End Time Prophecy Summit, and you'll see why as we close the book of Daniel with a meeting at the banks of the Hiddekel, which is also known as the Tigris River. Daniel, Michael the Archangel, and two others meet at the river. Beginning verse 5, read verses 5 and 6 with me. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? So the first thing I want to point out is that the man who is mentioned here, clothed in linen, is the same that we saw in chapter 10, verses 5 and 6. You can turn a couple of pages back and see that. Chapter 10, verse 5 says, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like a collar to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. There's debate as to exactly who that is, whether it's pre-incarnate Christ or an angel, and we're not going to get back into that. You can go back and listen to our debate on that in our study in Daniel 10. But the other thing I want to mention is in this text where it says, or asks the question, one asking the man clothed in linen says, "How long shall it be to the end of these wonders?" Now, is there anybody in this room who hasn't wondered about that question? If there's anybody in this room who's never wondered when, what, and never actually had that same question in maybe other words, "How long shall it be to the end of these wonders?" then you haven't been studying your Bible, because all you have to do is read the Bible and you're thinking, wow. And the more you see things like what we already looked at in our current events update, you're thinking, Jesus has to be coming soon. It's a question every Bible student asks. And we have to pay attention to the context. Verse 7 continues, "And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished." Now you look at that verse and you go back and follow our studies up to this point in Daniel, follow our 100 hours of Bible study in the book of Revelation, and you will see that that's a good summary. It matches the rest of the Bible. And it matches Revelation 12. When we studied Revelation 12. Now a time is one. Times is two. And a half a time. That equals what? Three and a half. Does that sound familiar? We've been talking about it off and on. 1260 days. 30 day months. By the way, so you take 1260 divided by 30, and that's how you come up with Revelation 12:6. "And the woman fled into the wilderness." Wait a minute, what's he say there? "When he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people." What's happening there?
Yeah.
Israel scattering into the wilderness, "where she hath a place prepared of God." And I believe that is Petra. And if it's not checked out, we've got Noah Hutchings giving you a tour of Petra, and I highly recommend you watch that. "That they should feed her there 1,203 days." That's 1,260 days. And I'm going to show you a full chart. This is part of the chart here. And you see on this chart, to the far right in the purple is the millennial kingdom, and right before that is the return of Jesus. Because when Jesus returns, he sets up his thousand-year kingdom, which is what the word millennial means. Well, this is the days of Daniel 12, and all of this takes place in Daniel's 70th week, which is 7 years. But in Revelation 11:3 and what we just read in Revelation 12:6, it refers to this happening. Revelation 12 takes place at the beginning of the second half. The 3.5 years remaining, the 1,260 days. I don't want you to think for a second I'm making fun or being too light or anything, but as a football fan, it just helps for me to think in terms of football. And you see the beginning, the rapture is not the beginning of the tribulation. The rapture is kind of the pregame show. If you're at a Buckeye game, a band comes out and they do a little pregame, and then they bring the team out and everybody stands up and cheers, but no one scored yet or anything. The game hadn't actually started. That's kind of like the rapture. Instead of going out on the field, we go up in the air. Amen. You don't think there's going to be a whole lot of shouting? There's going to be a whole lot of shouting. And so, like football, the beginning of the pregame show isn't part of the game. The game starts whenever the Antichrist confirms the covenant for 1 week, 7 years. That starts the game. Halftime. Halftime is the abomination. See? And so then you have 3.5 years left. And at that time is when he goes against Israel, and Israel flees into the wilderness. And that's what so far we got here on the chart. Can you save it, or is it something?
Oh,
that's back in chapter 10.
Okay.
Well, and then, yeah, it'd be the same man here, yeah.
But I mean, is it presumptuous to think that it isn't Jesus because it's talking about God in the third person?
Well, there's three persons in the Godhead.
Yeah.
So there's times where Jesus is being talked about, and then there's a reference to God in the same sentence. So that doesn't necessarily mean it's not Jesus here either. That's why there's no dogmatic answer to it, even though some people try to make it dogmatic. Where it's not dogmatic, we are not dogmatic. Amen? So you take 1,260 days and you divide it by 360-day years and you come up with 3.5. See how that works? I know math's not easy, but did you get that? That's kind of basic. Are you getting it? It's important for you to get that, because you go from one text to another, it makes these, sets out these basic equations. Now, I want to say a word about date setting before we move on. This does not help sell books, setting dates for the rapture. This doesn't have anything to do with the rapture. And the Seventh-day Adventist cult began when William Miller, no relation, tried to establish the date of the rapture using these dates in Daniel. It don't work. So give it up. A little reality check as we move on, though. Revelation 12 takes place in the final 3.5 years of the 70th week. I mentioned that. After halftime, the abomination. And only then can anyone have a precise date for the second coming of Jesus. And like the Buckeye game last week, you know, it's going to look like the good guys are going to lose. And then right at the end... Yeah, how many of you saw that or know what I'm talking about? Okay, I was going to say, I thought, something wrong with you. I'm just saying, that's a real good way for me to remember things and for you Buckeye fans. But it's not a bad question to ask of the Lord. I want to pinpoint that. It's not a bad question. But when you get the answer, don't reject the answer. When's the rapture going to happen? Soon. That's the perfect answer, because no one knows the day. No one knows. But it's a good question to ask, but then you got to be able be willing to accept the answer. Look over to Acts chapter 1. I want to show you something. That's why I've had people call me, write me, email me, or come here and visit, or even those who attend here. And they've asked, when do you think the rapture is going to happen? Or do you think the rapture is going to happen in September this year? They get that idea because they falsely think that the feast of Israel have something to do with the rapture, and they don't. You won't know the rapture based on the feast. Those belong to Israel, not the church. But it's not. I don't chew them out. I don't call them names. Oh, that's stupid. What are you? You know, I'm not going to do that because it's not a bad question. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 6. I'm sorry, did I already say that? Verse 6. And this is right before the Lord ascends to heaven. It says, when they, the witnesses that were with him for 40 days, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? See, at this point, they're not looking for the rapture, because these are Jews under Mosaic law, and the transition into the gospel of grace and the church age has just begun. And so they're what's on their mind? Well, what's promised to them? They're Jews. They're promised a kingdom. They're promised a Messiah to sit on the throne. So they ask, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Verse 7, and he said unto them, what a stupid question. The NIV. No, I love this. He doesn't chew them out. Verse 7, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. See, they've got to be willing to accept that answer. Good question, but you're not going to ever know the answer till you, you know, experience it, till it happens. But, verse 8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth, prophecy fulfilled. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And that's the answer to your question about the rapture. It's not for you to know. And you just, if these people would stop trying to figure it out and understand they're not going to know the date of the rapture. But, as we're seeing here, there is going to come a time when you can know. It's just not going to be before the rapture. Daniel chapter 12, verses 8 and 9, back to our text, says, "And I heard, but I understood not." How many of you admit you've been there? Amen. A little humility here. I've been there. People don't like it when I tell them there's some things I just don't get, and some things I just, you know, give you the choices and let you go, you know, pray about it. Then said I, "O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things?" Kind of sounds like the apostles. Verse 9, "And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end." So a note to date setters, give it up. And Daniel wasn't told, and you're not going to figure it out either. Verse 10, "Many shall be purified and made white and tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly." They're doing that, amen? Here's the key. Pay attention. "And none of the wicked shall understand. But the wise shall understand." We see this coming to pass in our very own day. "And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." Wicked isn't just about non-Christians, but also about many professing Christians. Now, when I say professing Christians, as you know, we joked about in Sunday school last week, I'm not talking about professors necessarily. But if you are a professor in a religious or biblical sense, that means you profess to be a Christian. But some of the most wicked people alive today are professing Christians. Some of the most vociferous, some of the most zealous baby killers in America are clergy. Some of the most supportive of Sodom call themselves reverend. And a lot of them are women. I call them the wickedly ignorant. Has a ring to it. One example, apostate liberals. That's in all denominations, by the way. There are plenty of apostate liberal Baptists, apostate liberal Presbyterians, apostate liberal fill in the blank. An apostate is someone who claims to be a Christian, but has fallen away from the faith. And they, if you ask them what they believe, they do not believe in an infallible Bible, or they don't. Some of these people will profess to even believe some of the things we believe, but you'll find they'll either attack the Bible or they won't preach the biblical gospel. They won't fully accept the deity of Jesus Christ. They have a salvation by works, and so forth. Those people, when you talk to them about what's going on in the world today,
solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.